We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It's December 7th. It is 2022. We have 11 NBA games to talk about here on today's podcast. Already left YouTube running, so I didn't even hear when the intro was over. So winning already. Joined today by TJ, 11 games. TJ, what's happening, my friend?
Just ran into the door hustling back to get back here, and I'm ready to talk some basketball with you, my friend. Sorry, we're getting a little bit later of a start than usual, but it's only 11 games. That's nothing. We can rip through this nice and quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting slate. We got a couple back-to-backs, which is weird because there was only three games on Tuesday night. And we already have some big injury news with, like, no Steph Curry, no Draymond Green. So a lot to kind of go through here. Is Anthony Davis going to play on the second end of a back-to-back after leaving Tuesday night's game and crushing a lot of people? Now, I don't think as much on FanDuel because he was so expensive, but on DraftKings, that's where it was a huge difference for Anthony Davis or not. So we're going to jump right in, get started. And yeah, if you're hanging out on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, hit that like button. Make sure you say hi in chat. I got chat open. I try to pay attention to it as we're doing the show. And yeah, if you haven't checked out Sleeper Fantasy, check them out. 100% deposit bonus up to $100. Use promo code Grinders for that. You'll also get access right into the Grinders squad chat, which is fantastic because you got people posting stuff in there all the time. You can just copy the picks if you want to, if you feel confident in other people. And yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. So if you haven't checked them out, check them out. Derek, what's up? We're going to get into this one and we get started here with the Clippers at Orlando facing the Magic. 219.5 total here. The Clippers a 6-point favorite. Kennard, Morris, Powell, and John Wall out. And then on the Orlando side, Wendell Carter Jr., Harris, Isaac, Okiki, Suggs out. So George and Kawhi returned the other night. Now we're looking at, you know, Morris out, Powell is out again, and John Wall out. What are you looking at here for the Clippers?
Weird. Like, I don't really know. Like, outside of Paul George, I don't really know how much interest I have in anyone. Like, Reggie Jackson may be a little bit more secure of minutes with no John Wall. Marcus Morris, Norman Powell out. Like, it should open the door for Covington and Batum to get a few more minutes. But it's just kind of tough with George and Leonard here, too, because so much of the usage is going to go there. We don't really know how the minutes are going to stack up. I think from, like, a pay up, like, the person on the team I think I have the most interest in will be Paul George. And then I think the salary saving option I would have the most interest in would be Covington.
Yeah, Covington is someone that I had written down. I don't know really what to expect when we're looking at, like, Nicholas Batum. Like, are they really going to roll out Nicholas Batum 30 minutes? I don't think so. I mean, his season high this year is 26 minutes. I don't see him really playing much more than he's already playing. You know, maybe like Amir Coffey at 3,200 gets a good amount of minutes, but he's such a low usage guy. He doesn't shoot a ton that I'm with you. I think that Mr. Robert Covington back into our lives at 3,700, who has 25 plus point upside. But I really think, like, the guy you're looking at in this game is Paul George. I mean, I don't hate Kawhi. I just think I like Paul George more. And I mean, on DraftKings, Kawhi's 7,200. It's really cheap against the Magic. I mean, he might be in play over there.
What do you think he is on FanDuel?
81.
58.
All right. Well, he's just way too cheap across the industry then. That's like 58 is way too cheap. Like, I said way too cheap at 72 on FanDuel, but man, like, I know you're a FanDuel guy. That seems really mispriced.
Yeah, in 27 minutes last game. 5 more minutes than in any game he's played this season so far. So I think that is pretty interesting. At 5'8", he's definitely in play over there. And I mean, Paul George is 8'3 on FanDuel as well. So a very good price for him over there. In addition to that, you've got Robert Covington all the way up at 4'6". So I think you're really just looking at the stars on FanDuel for the Clippers. And then on DraftKings, it's more of some value pieces.
On the Orlando side of things, I mean, Mo Bamba expected back here. I think he'll jump into the starting lineup and we'll see Maurice Wagner go to the bench. I mean, the guy, I talked about him the other day against Milwaukee and he absolutely crushed for us. I'm going right back to the well. The guy that I love here is Markelle Fultz.
Talking about Wagner there. Wagner helped me take down the $100 single entry GPP on FanDuel Monday night. But yeah, Fultz is looking pretty darn good out there. He's quick. He's making a lot of defensive plays. He's getting his team very involved in this game. I'm all good with Markelle Fultz today. Absolutely. And then, I mean, I think I don't hate the idea of taking some shots on Banchero, Bol Bol, Wagner in this spot as well.
My only problem with like Moritz Wagner is Mo Bamba expected to play. So how does that shape up things? I mean, if they start Moritz Wagner, maybe I'm more interested. But right now, I think my main target from this team is likely going to be Fultz. Especially second unit that's going to kind of be banged up a little bit here for the Clippers. And yeah, I mean, Fultz is the guy that they're getting him minutes, like key minutes too, and 18 shots the other night. Like that's what we want to see out of Fultz. I mean, they're not always the prettiest shots. Anything else that you like here for the Magic?
Mo Bamba is, if he ends up in the starting lineup, is 5'2" on FanDuel.
Yeah, he's like 6K on DraftKings, and I don't think he'll make the cut on an 11-game slate over there, but I like the price tag. Is he center only, or is he center power forward over there?
No, he's just center over there.
Moving on. Sorry, big yawn there. Lakers at Raptors. Anybody that like is a NASCAR subscriber just laughed because yawning during live shows is my thing in NASCAR for some reason. Back-to-back for the Lakers. No total in this game. Anthony Davis left the game last night, Tuesday night, with an illness. Played like 6 or 8 minutes. I can't remember. It was ridiculous. Got absolutely crushed by him in props on Sleeper and Prize Picks because I love the spot for him. That kind of stunk. On the Toronto side, Precious, Hernan Gomez, and Porter remain out. Lakers, second end of a back-to-back. I'm not worried about LeBron. They did, like, he came back, what was it, a week or two ago and played like a back-to-back on back-to-back nights, like right off the bat. So I'm not too concerned about LeBron playing the back-to-back, but I mean, Anthony Davis is the big one here. I mean, if he's out, that's going to open up a lot of stuff here on the Lakers side. If he's in, maybe I'm just kind of staying away from this game.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Like, if he's in, I don't have a ton of interest in anybody just based on, like, especially on FanDuel, he's 12-2 right now, and that's just a difficult price to get to. It is a back-to-back. You never know. We could see something wonky, but the biggest priority, if it's just Davis out, will have to be Thomas Bryant. He played 28 minutes on Tuesday night after Davis went down, 19 points, 9 rebounds. He'll be probably the most intriguing target alongside LeBron James, and I think the biggest reason they're interesting too, especially with a guy like Bryant, is you have Wenyen Gabriel, who's currently out for the Lakers. I don't know if, it says he's going to be reevaluated in a week, so he's going to be still out. And that's a guy that had been picking up 20, 25 minutes in games where Davis wasn't playing. So I think that solidifies things for Thomas Bryant a little bit and makes him a, like, just phenomenal play if Anthony Davis is out, especially on DraftKings, where he is only $3,200. Like, that'd be a borderline lock button play for me, depending on how many other centers I want to play here throughout the slate. So we're going to have to take a wait and see approach. And if the Lakers end up resting a bunch of guys, you could maybe end up seeing the same thing from Toronto. And so based on that, I think this is going to be kind of one of those ones that outside of, yeah, if Davis is out, you're going to have some Lakers you like. One that's kind of tough for us to break down the night before here.
Yeah, it really is. If AD sits, Bryant is one of the best value plays on the slate. Like, it's just one of those don't overthink it spots. The size is going to be needed against Toronto. So I think he would just kind of just play like an Anthony Davis type of role, maybe a few less minutes. Because, I mean, they don't really – they have, like, what is it, Troy Brown Jr. LeBron could potentially play some four. I mean, they don't have a ton of options when it comes to big guys. So, yeah, I mean, if Anthony Davis sits, this is a fantastic spot. On the Toronto side of things, I mean, Siakam's 9,800. We're seeing the shot attempts get back up there. The minutes finally against Boston the other night. 39 minutes. That's all I needed to see, TJ. All I needed to see was Siakam play big minutes, and it happened. I have a ton of interest in him at 9,800. If I'm stacking this game, if I'm not really playing anybody from the Lakers, I probably don't get to Siakam, but I like Siakam as the best run back option here for Toronto.
I like Siakam, but I actually think he falls behind Fred VanVleet for me just because that $7,100 price tag on DraftKings is just way too cheap. 76 on FanDuel, 71 on DraftKings. I love that price tag for him. And so Siakam comes in number two for me behind VanVleet. And then I actually think on DraftKings where you get the 3-point bonus and he's just so ridiculously cheap at 4-6 that Gary Trent is in play in tournaments as a value play as well.
Yeah, I like playing Gary Trent. I talk about him all the time. Boomer bust. I mean, you're really just relying on him shooting the ball well. Okay, so that's half of NBA DFS anyway, right? Just shooting the ball well. But all joking aside, like, he is someone that when he's shooting well can put up, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 three-pointers in a game. So, you know, if he makes half of those, you're off to the races when that kind of stuff happens. So, I like the VanVleet call. He has not really shown a ton of upside. I don't hate this, especially with like Schroeder on the other side on the second end of a back-to-back. I mean, does Schroeder even play the second end of a back-to-back? So I still think I like Siakam the most, but hey, we're allowed to have different opinions. Atlanta at New York facing the Knicks. 232 total in this game. The Knicks a 2-point favorite. Collins and Hunter out for Atlanta. The Knicks are good to go. Big total, close game, one of the highest totals that we have on the slate. What are your thoughts here on Atlanta?
Always like Atlanta. New York is kind of a team that people don't really like targeting because we're used to seeing them as this like great defensive, slow team, but they haven't been the same defensive juggernaut as they have been in the past. And so I'm all for Atlanta today, and I think I even like DeJounte Murray as my favorite play here from the guard deciding between Murray and Young. Like, I think that price difference is just getting big enough that Murray is actually becoming just my favorite play on the Hawks guards over Trae Young. And then with John Collins out, Clint Capella makes for a very interesting play as well, and AJ Griffin as well as Jalen Johnson, I think, are both in play as well.
Really just interesting game in general. Like you said, the Knicks for years were a slow defensive team. I mean, they ranked 23rd in defensive rating and they're 12th in pace. So, I mean, Atlanta plays fast. They're in the top 10 in pace. Atlanta is a decent defensive team. I think they're kind of in that like 9-12 range so far this season. You know, living in that range. So I think this is a fantastic game in general. I always prefer Trae Young over DeJounte Murray. Outside of that, I mean, you could definitely take some shots on Clint Capella at 6,700, but the price is starting to catch up to the production. So he might be one that I look on like Prize Picks or Sleeper on like his rebound prop. He's been absolutely crushing the boards with John Collins out. So maybe that's where I get Capella.
And then you also have him at 6,200 on FanDuel, a little bit cheaper. Yeah. Plus, you get the extra points for his blocks over there. So he's definitely a nicer play over on FanDuel.
He's been cheap on Yahoo as well for anyone that's playing on Yahoo. You know, check him out over there. Don't have that up in front of me. Bogdanovich, 22 minutes in the first two games back. Shot the ball a lot better, you know, going up against the Thunder. 4,500, even if he gets like 3 or 4 extra minutes, Bogdanovich might be too cheap here. Someone that I definitely don't mind taking some shots on at 4,500 in a pace up spot. So he'll get his shots up. It's just really if you can get those few extra minutes with the knee surgery. I mean, it's almost a week. We're at what, 4 or 5 days now? So maybe we get a few extra minutes out of Bogdanovich here. Knicks side of this game, you know, we definitely don't want to play Brunson in this game. You know, DeJounte Murray is just a fantastic defender. But does that lead to, like, RJ Barrett having a good game if this game stays close? What are your thoughts here for the Knicks?
I actually think that I like some Jalen Brunson because I feel like DeJounte Murray might end up being more likely to actually be put on RJ Barrett in this spot just based on heights here. Like, if there's anybody that you're comfortable putting Trae Young on, it's somebody that's actually the same size as him there. I'm not sure how tall Quentin Grimes is starting at the three, but like, that'd be the really only other player out there Young could match up with. So if we look at it on a macro scale like that, I could actually see DeJounte Murray, or sorry, a micro scale, I could actually see DeJounte Murray lining up with RJ Barrett today.
I mean, getting that right is definitely something. Grimes has been starting more at the two and Barrett at three, but I mean, it really doesn't matter. Positions are just letters on a stat sheet, you know, matchups are what you're trying to get right. So if you are right, like if DeJounte does end up on Barrett, then maybe I do like Brunson and maybe even like a little bit of Grimes in large field tournaments, because he's been playing a gazillion minutes a night. You know, you just have to hope that he does something with it, which happens like once a week. Anything else here that you like from the Knicks?
Not really. This isn't really a spot I'm too excited about today. We got so many teams with multiple players missing. I don't really want to target a team that's fully healthy.
Yeah, I mean, Reddish not getting really any run. It's just, for me, when it comes to the Knicks, it's Julius Randle always has a high ceiling. I just don't think I get to him today. I do like the price tag. He's under 8K. Maybe I take some shots on him, and then, you know, getting Brunson or Barrett right, I think it's going to be kind of big in this game if it stays close. Charlotte at Brooklyn, 222 total. Brooklyn 10-point favorite. Ball, Hayward, Martin, DSJ remain out for Charlotte. Simmons remains out for Brooklyn. Any interest here in Charlotte?
Terry Rozier remains too cheap over on FanDuel. He's $7,400. That is a very appealing price tag, and I want to get to him there. And then on DraftKings, like Oubre, Washington, I think they're, and Plumlee even, I think they're all, and McDaniels. McDaniels, actually, if I'm being real, would probably be my main target here on DraftKings. But all these guys are priced fine. I think they are all right. But Rozier on FanDuel is the specific one that it's like, that's my main target.
Yeah, I mean, Rozier at 8K. The other guy that, like, he's been playing pretty good is Mason Plumlee. I just don't know if I use, like, a center spot for him on an 11-game slate. His rebounding has been fantastic here recently, double digits in four of the last five. Maybe I'm looking for him in, like, rebound props more than playing him in DFS. The Brooklyn side of things here, I mean, Charlotte bigs are terrible. Claxton's 6,200. Durant's 10-7. It's pricey. I mean, he does produce more with Simmons off the floor, but Kyrie's been playing good. These guys are priced where I think they should be. Maybe I take some shots on Claxton. That's really it.
That's where I'm leaning as well. Claxton is the one that I'm most excited about. Irving, anytime you see Kyrie in the 8Ks, like, it's enticing. He's been enticing. He's been playing huge minutes lately, and, like, we know he's got a gigantic ceiling at that price. He just hasn't really been getting to it lately. And so Kyrie, Claxton, those are the two guys I'm most interested in getting to. If I was running 150, I would keep Kevin Durant in my pool, but that's really about it.
Moving on. Washington at Chicago. You know, I already mentioned that we have some big news. This is one of those spots, 225 total. Chicago, 5.5-point favorite. Bradley Beal out. Hachimura out. Chicago side, Ball remains out. Carrusco is questionable. But, I mean, let's talk about this Washington team. Chicago, tough matchup, but no Bradley Beal is huge. What are we looking at here for Washington?
Yeah, that definitely makes a big difference. And Chicago's been kind of a fun team to target lately for DFS, like playing guys against them. They've been playing some high-scoring, close games lately, and it's been enticing to target for DFS. I think Monty Morris is very interesting. Obviously, Kuz and Porzingis get bumps in this spot without Bradley Beal, and so I'm pretty interested in all three of those guys. Especially Kuz and FanDuel, 7,500. Like, that's just way too cheap. He is in a great, great spot today. And then you got guys like Avdija and Kispert, who are solid values, but they've also kind of been priced up for somebody to be missing in this spot. They're not the mid 3Ks like they had been in the past. So I don't mind the Denny Avdias and the Corey Kispert type things, but I'm most likely to play Porzingis or Kuzma, especially Kuzma at 7,500 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I mean, Porzingis is probably my favorite, but it's not really saying a ton. He just averages like 1.3 fantasy points per minute with Beal off the floor. And I really think he could win this matchup as well. So, I mean, another reason that I kind of like this spot for him, like you mentioned, this is a team that's really kind of just been playing really fast, but big bump for Washington and pace. And I really think Porzingis could beat Vooch in this matchup. So Porzingis at 9,200 would be my favorite. I definitely don't mind Kuzma. He gets a bump as well. Everyone gets a bump. I don't want to highlight just one person. Everyone gets a bump. But yeah, I mean, Porzingis really sees the biggest bump in like fantasy production. So, you know, he would be my favorite. Kuzma gets a usage bump. I think the fantasy points will follow from that. So yeah, I mean, those would be my two favorite plays. And I mean, I guess Monte Morris is worth just mentioning with Wright. Is he going to be back for this game? No, right?
No.
Yeah. So I think Monte Morris, I mean, there's plenty of minutes here. Kaspert is someone that could just kind of continue in a good role. And if you, in large field tournaments, want to light money on fire, Will Barton is 3,700. Chicago side, I mean, I keep saying it, right? Like, DeRozan, I feel like, is still him and LaVine are the ceiling guys. Vooch is just consistent. I mean, he's had one game, maybe two games over 50 this year. I know he's had one. What are your thoughts on Chicago?
We have Green and Caruso questionable right now. If they're out, I think that opens the door for the Dragic's and the Kobe White's and the Dasun moves to take potential value plays. But
Green's doubtful, by the way.
Sorry?
Green is doubtful.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. And so, like, if you get Caruso on top of that, I think it opens the door for those cheap guards and guys like Patrick Williams, stuff like that. But for the most part, this is DeRozan, LaVine, or Vucevic for me. My favorite being Zach LaVine. Like, since the beginning of November, in the last month, he's had one game sub 35 fantasy points, or below 34, I mean, on DraftKings. So, like, he's still way too cheap. He was coming back from injury, and so he was priced low, and he just hasn't been bumped up. Like, this is a mid 8K player. And so LaVine, it's like a price enforcement thing for me, but Washington doesn't play near as fast as they used to. I don't have a ton of interest. Like, somebody like an Andre Drummond is interesting for large field tournaments at that price, but on an 11 game slate with the amount of value we have, I don't think we need it.
Okay. See, at Memphis, 232 and a half total here. Memphis is a 6-point favorite. Holmgren and Williams remains out for OKC. Bain, Green, Williams out for Memphis. Let's go to the Thunder here. First, I mean, SGA continues to be a monster. If you expect this to be a really high-scoring game, you know, you really expect him to have a really strong game. What do you like here for OKC?
For a guy whose price has never gotten all that high, SGA is probably the best combo of floor and ceiling that we have had in this NBA season so far. Like, he never gets up above 11K. He's always nice and affordable. And we look at that game log. He's had three games below 40 points this entire season. 3 points below 40 fantasy points this entire season. And so he's just been a picture of consistency. He's a great play. Josh Giddey has the upside, is fine for tournaments, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, SGA and Giddey, I think, are the two options that I lean towards the most. Mentioned Robinson Earl on the podcast the other day. The minutes are consistent. The upside is there. He's just very wishy-washy. I mean, you're going to get some good games out of him. Large field tournaments, I think Robinson Earl would be in my player pool here if I'm running more than like 20 teams. Memphis side of this game, John Morant back after missing, was it one game? So, I mean, John Morant is a high ceiling guy. My only like concern is like if you're playing Ja, you probably want to play SGA, and that's two 10K guys, and it's going to be kind of tough to fit him in.
Yeah, and I think from a price perspective, we'll be able to. It's just the fact that they're both point guards that is kind of very much limits your roster construction when you roll there. Morant's got a high upside. JJJ has high upside. Conchar might be all right as a value play, but other than that, like I don't have a ton of interest in any of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, Morant would be the guy. I mean, Brooks, he's going to shoot a ton. I don't hate it. Steven Adams has had some decent games here recently. But, yeah, I mean, this is a game where if I'm game stacking, I'm definitely looking at, like, two or three spots here and, you know, trying to take advantage of this game in a stack. Because, I mean, this game is a 232.5 total. Memphis has one of the highest implied team totals on the slate. So, like, Ja, very, very much in play. Triple J, ceiling-wise, you know, you could definitely take some shots on him. I don't think I'm taking shots on Tyus Jones. He absolutely smashed the other night without Ja Morant. Let people chase that. That's not going to happen again with Ja Morant back. So, yeah, I mean, this game is very stackable. Very stackable game.
I agree with you. Nice and stackable. And, yeah, Tyus Jones, that's a guy that you play in 100% of your lineups whenever Ja's out, but definitely not something you got to try and make happen when he's in.
I mean, Ja and Bane, right? Like, it was just a perfect scenario for Tyus Jones the other night.
And a reminder that the Memphis Grizzlies statistically are better as a team when Tyus Jones starts at point guard than Ja Morant.
All right, so we got Detroit at New Orleans. No total in this game. Detroit on a back-to-back. Graham questionable for New Orleans. Ingram, Jones, and Little remain out. Cunningham, from what I read on him, I don't expect him to play in this game.
Like, based on what I have heard from based on Cunningham, I don't know if he's going to play again this season.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, as of right now, we're just going to talk about this with him being out. I don't know if anybody else sits here for Detroit on the second end of a back-to-back. I mean, they're a pretty young team, and I don't really expect anyone to sit. They're coming off of a huge win. Bogdanovich had a monster game last night. Like, if you didn't have him in tournaments, you did not win money, or at least big money. What are your thoughts here on Detroit?
I don't really have any. I don't think I'm going to play a Detroit player today in this on this slate. Like, it's a big slate. I don't, like, unless we get some guys sitting, I don't think I have a ton of interest in playing any of them.
Yeah, I mean, are people going to chase Bogdanovich? I think that would be, if he's not going to get a ton of ownership, I'm not worried about him playing the second end of a back-to-back.
He's a great FanDuel play at 5,800 still. Like, if you land on Bogdanovich, I a player like him, on a big slate, I never go out of my way to be like, this is a play I must have today. But if you land on Bogdanovich, it's 5,700. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. He's a great play at that price.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm playing Ivy or Hayes at these price tags. Bogdanovich is interesting. I mean, if for some reason, like, Bagley sits and, like, they play Stewart, or, like, if someone starts, like, if people start getting ruled out in this game, that's where I would have some interest. Stewart played a lot of minutes last night. Bagley, I think he only saw like 18 or 19 minutes in that game. So my problem with Detroit is the same problem that I've talked about so many times. You guys are probably sick of hearing it if you listen to the podcast every day, but they spread their minutes out so much that it's so hard to play anybody from Detroit. But playing people against Detroit's never a bad idea. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the league. What are your thoughts here on the Pelicans?
Maybe my favorite play on the entire slate, definitely my favorite play that we've talked about to this point, is CJ McCollum, $7,300 on DraftKings, $7,100 on FanDuel, or $7,200 over there. Sorry. Like you said, Detroit is terrible on defense. They give up a ton of three-pointers. McCollum has shot 20 and 18% or whatever it is in his first two games back from injury, but he was up to 34 minutes last game. He gets huge usage and assist boosts without Brandon Ingram on the court. He is one of my top plays on the slate and going to be a core play in tournaments for me on Wednesday night.
Love the CJ McCollum call. I think Zion in tournaments is very playable. The other guy that I want to mention in tournaments is Alvarado. He went back to the bench the other night with McCollum back, and his usage is insane on the bench. Just getting a ton of usage with the second unit.
8 for 11 from three that
yeah,
game.
I mean, I don't expect him to do that again. But like with Devontae Graham questionable too, he's the other usage guy. Jose Alvarado had a 37% usage rate the other night with the second unit. So 4,800. I mean, 35, I think, is doable. I don't expect him to score 38 actual points again, but I do expect him to put up 12 to 15 shots on that second unit, especially if Graham sits. Like I said, Graham's the other usage guy on that second unit. So if Graham sits, Alvarado, the minutes 25-ish, but I mean, he is easily someone that can average a point and a half per minute. Anything else here from the Pelicans?
No, that's it.
And Alvarado, if the game got out of hand, might still play minutes. So just something to note. Sacramento at Milwaukee. 234.5 total in this game. Milwaukee, 6.5-point favorite. Davis questionable for Sacramento. Ingles out for Milwaukee. Ibaka back for Milwaukee. I don't think it really matters too much. We'll start here with the Kings. Tough matchup going into Milwaukee, but Vegas expects this game to stay close. And if that's the case, I mean, I think we have to look at this game.
Yeah, I think Fox and Sabonis both are interesting for tournaments, but I honestly don't really want to play anybody else here on the Sacramento side.
You don't like, yeah, I was going to say Sabonis. I heard, yeah, I'm tired.
If Terrence Davis is out and you're running 150 lineups, like Malik Monk is somebody I never X out of my pool just because he has a big ceiling when he gets hot. Honestly, Davion Mitchell, I think, would be an interesting value play just at 3-4. Like, that's a guy that can play mid-20s minutes and 7, 8, 9, 10x that price tag, especially if this game gets a little bit ugly if Davis is out. So guys like Herter and Monk, I don't think I'd take out of my player pool if I was running a ton of lineups. But Fox and Sabonis, with Sabonis being the main one, are the only ones that I have somewhat strong interest in. But running a single entry, I'm not going to be getting to any of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, large field tournaments, if you're running multiple teams, you have to get some Sabonis and some Fox. Like you mentioned, I don't hate Monk or Herter. I mean, Barnes probably going to play a ton of minutes in this game and either going to be matched up with Middleton or Giannis. I don't know if Keegan Murray is going to, if Keegan Murray is guarding Giannis, Giannis is going to have a monster game. So yeah, I mean, definitely get some exposure to the Sacramento side. I mean, I hate paying up for Giannis at 12-4. Like he continues to have like really good games and just not really crushing DFS wise, like because of his price. Like 60 doesn't kill you when Giannis puts up 60 on an 11 game slate.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. By far the player I'm most interested here on the Bucks side is actually going to be Jrue Holiday. He has been crushing lately. Even with Middleton back, like it's not really a worry for me. I think that price tag is too cheap and he could absolutely smash it.
Yeah, Drew's my favorite play too. I don't hate Brook Lopez in this game just because I think they're going to need him to play that 30 like minute role. And he just kind of falls into like a ton of blocks when he's on the court. I mean, this guy block shots. So like for you, like on FanDuel, you get the extra point for a block, right? Is it point or half a point?
Yeah, it's 3 points for a steal, 3 points for a block.
Yeah, so I mean, this is a guy that like can legitimately block 5+ shots. So Brook Lopez, just someone I wanted to mention as well, who I wrote down as a potential play here. Especially like, gosh, his minutes. If he just gets the 30 minutes, like that's 4 blocks right there. Just go ahead.
I did not expect to consider an almost 7K Brook Lopez in 2022.
It's crazy, so bad
from a fantasy perspective last year. Just horrific. We weren't playing him in the low 4Ks last year.
No, I know. Like, he just sits under the basket and blocks shots this year. Like, that's what he does. Like, y'all drive, I'm going to block it. Like, it's like this dude is averaging 3 blocks a game. Like, that's pretty crazy. And, like, he turns in, like, offensive rebounds into easy buckets. So, like, he'll get those, like, 5 to 8 rebounds, and he'll get 1 or 2 offensive rebounds a game and get those 2 to 6 easy points. Like, I mean, I don't hate Brook Lopez. So,
if Brook Lopez would have started his career 20 years earlier, he'd have been a just legit Hall of Famer.
I saw him and his brother at Animal Kingdom one time, and they're exactly what you would picture them to be. Indiana at Minnesota, 234.5 total here. Minnesota, 236.5 total. Minnesota favored by 4. I went back and looked. Biggest game as far as news. Duarte is out. Halliburton questionable. Johnson questionable. McConnell questionable. Tice questionable. And Turner questionable. Yay. So much fun. 8 o'clock game. Hopefully we get some of this news throughout the day. I know as someone that has to do expert survey today, I won't be doing anything until the 1:30 injury news comes out. Prince and Cat out for Minnesota. This game is impossible to talk about when it comes to injury news, but we'll do the best we can. If Halliburton,
I don't think it is, and yeah. I hope we don't get the news before lock, because I hope people see that Q tag and just kind of get weary of the situation. But like, when the report came out a couple days ago that Halliburton was going to miss the last game, they said they're going to have him out at least 2 games. And this is the second game. And so while it's a Q tag, unless something has significantly changed and he's just 100%, they did report upon his initial injury that he's going to miss an at least 2 games. So if this...
He missed 2 games already, though. They had a back-to-back. He missed 2 games.
Oh, I thought it was only the one. I missed that.
Gotcha. No problem. I mean, if Halliburton sits...
Well, then based on that, then if he plays, he's very interesting. And it's exactly like you said. It's one of the most interesting games for news.
Yeah. if Turner and Halliburton are out, it's easy. Just play Numhard and Jalen Smith. I mean, don't overthink it. Just play those 2 guys. You can add... If McConnell sits too, you can add Neesmith, I think. If McConnell plays, I definitely don't mind looking at McConnell. Brissett played 30 minutes the other night with Turner banged up. He's 3,500. So if Turner were to sit, if Tice sits and Johnson sits, I mean, there's just, you got to pay attention to the news in this one. You got to leave open spots because there's just so much potential in this game, depending on who's in and who's out. If Turner and Halliburton play, I definitely don't mind taking some shots on Halliburton, but that's really it. I don't think I would end up much else. I mean, Mathurin has been playing a ton of minutes and just not shooting well. He's not really doing anything like rebounding or getting assists. So I don't know if his ceiling is really as high right now as it was with Halliburton on the floor.
Yeah, like I like Mathurin, Nembhard, Hield, McConnell if he plays. Like, it's going to be a very interesting situation. And it's going to be like, I honestly don't think, if I were only running one lineup, I don't think I'd play anybody from the first 4 games of the slate, just so I could try and wait a little bit on some of this news in the 8 to 9 o'clock range here. I think if I was only running one lineup, I'd be kind of fading the early ones, because all of these indie players are potentially interesting if Halliburton and especially Turner are out. If Turner and Halliburton are in, they're both appropriately priced that they'd be very interesting for tournaments. And then weirdly enough, with Towns out on the other side, we haven't really seen that significant of a price increase for these Minnesota guys. They've gone up a little bit on DraftKings when we got up to an $8,800 Anthony Edwards, but it's still a reasonable price for him without Towns. Low 7Ks for D'Angelo Russell, love that. And Gobert's price tag is nice and cheap as well. He's $6,800 on FanDuel now, so I don't mind playing him there. this to me is one of the most interesting game stack games on the board. And either it'll be from a value perspective if we get these guys out for Indiana, but maybe even just game stacking with the studs in this game if all those guys are in. I love the Brissett call. I had McConnell in all my lineups last week, but I made sure to, last game, but I made sure to have a few other positions in that game that I could swap as well. So as soon as McConnell was out, I got up to Nembhard. I went down to Brissett at the small forward position, and then that ended up helping me take down my GPP.
On the Minnesota side of this game, I mean, Edwards is... he's the guy that I want ceiling wise. Rudy Gobert, he hasn't been the best. He's been dealing with some injury. Wasn't it? It was an injury the other night, wasn't it?
It makes sense.
He got ejected, right?
Yeah, he got ejected. And it honestly makes sense when you think about it. Like, why would his role increase with Karl-Anthony Towns out? Like, Towns has been playing exclusively the power forward all year. All that this matters is he doesn't play the backup five, and it's Naz Reid now. Like, Gobert is still just getting his regular, normal minutes at the five, and nothing's really changed for him because Towns has been a four all year.
Kyle Anderson's price has come up. His minutes seem very secure. I don't hate him in this pace-up type of game. You know, you mentioned Naz Reid is playing that, like, backup center role. He's not going to get 30 minutes again like he did the other night with Gobert getting ejected. I think we see Naz Reid in like that 18 to 23 minute type of role. At 3,900, I don't think I can do it at center only. That's really it. I don't really have a ton else to add. McLaughlin came back the other night and played 24 minutes against the Thunder, put up 25 fantasy points. He's 3,500, just a name to potentially watch. I don't know if we're playing him in this spot, but I mean, if he's going to be like 2%,
I do really like as well, especially on DK, nice and cheap, is McDaniels at 4,600. Now, Kyle Anderson was going to be mega chalk the other day because McDaniels had been hurt, but then he ended up coming back and starting in his first game back. And so made us think, maybe I don't want to get Anderson. And nobody pivoted off of him. He was still over 30% owned, which was annoying because he wasn't starting. He shouldn't have been. And McDaniels picked up 3 fouls in the first 5 minutes of the game. So he didn't play again for the rest of the first half after that. And Kyle Anderson ended up playing more minutes than he even would have as a starter. So I think Jaden McDaniels is very interesting. He should be in line for a role with well over 30 minutes here. But if you look at his game log, it's not going to look that pretty because of foul trouble and then the injury he had prior to that.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we move on. Golden State at Utah. 239 total. Golden State a 2-point favorite. Steph Curry out, Draymond Green out, Iggy out, Wiggins out. Conley questionable for Utah. I mean, this is by far the most news that we have right now. You know, obviously we have a ton of potential news, but no Curry, no Wiggins, no Draymond. We take those three guys off the court. We get very, very limited sample size, but Jordan Poole, 32.4% usage in that scenario with 168 minutes, 1.1 fantasy point per minute. Klay Thompson's only played 22 minutes with those three guys off the floor this year. So,
do we really think Klay is not going to get a late downgrade in this one? Like, are they really going to run Klay as the only vet older guy out on this game after his playing 37 minutes at his last two games?
I mean, I like Jordan Poole no matter what happens.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. I mean, Klay very much in play as well. Like, both of those guys are fantastic.
Not just Jordan Poole, but Dante DiVincenzo, I think, is in a just like He's in low 20s, high teens minutes. He's been getting over 20 fantasy points every second game, which at that price is basically enough. He gets 30 minutes in this spot. Like, he's basically short of 10x at that price tag. And so, like, I would, no matter how many lineups I play tonight, whether it's one or 150, I will have at least three Golden State Warriors in every single lineup.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we talk about it so much. Utah is not the same team. They're a bottom five defensive team. They play fast. Golden State plays fast. I don't expect that to change. I mean, they probably won't play as fast. They're fifth fastest in the NBA with these guys out. But, I mean, Golden State likes to run. So DiVincenzo is someone that I love here. I wrote him down as well. I mean, yeah, there's so much potential here. Like, Kuminga is going to get minutes. Moses Moody is going to get minutes. Like, I can't wait to see some of the projections here for Golden State, because I mean, we're looking at three guys that play over 30 minutes a night, not playing in this game. So see what projections look like, see what the starting lineup looks like. That will be interesting. And like you mentioned, does Clay play? I mean, this is a perfect opportunity for Clay to sit, but I mean, he's been playing fantastic, and if you want to keep him hot, I don't hate it. So
on DraftKings, if I was multi-entering, just based on their prices and multi-positional eligibility, I think I would probably lock button DiVincenzo and Kuminga. But at the bare minimum, I would head over to Lineup HQ, make a rule that I would play 1-2 of Jordan Poole and Kuminga in Jordan Poole and DiVincenzo in every single lineup. 1-2 of them, every single lineup. And then I would make the same rule for Kuminga and Anthony Lamb. Like, that's kind of how I would be running that on this slate.
Utah side of this game, I mean, we're going to be playing a lot of Golden State. Don't forget about the Utah side. Don't forget about running it back. Marketing Clarkson. I don't even hate, like, Kelly Olynyk in this game. I mean, especially, like, if they're going to put Looney out there for 25-plus minutes, like, don't forget about Utah. I mean, Sexton has been someone that's been playing really solid minutes. His price has just come up, so I don't have as much interest in him. But I really like Markkanen in this spot. I mean, he's going to get a good matchup with no Draymond and no Wiggins.
I like Markkanen. These guards, a lot depends on Mike Conley for me. He's been upgraded to questionable. If he's in, I don't really have as much interest in Colin Sexton, but I think I'd like Jordan Clarkson either way, just because Conley should be on a minutes limit. And so nothing should really change all that much for Clarkson. And like, playing with Conley should realistically boost his usage rate as opposed to playing with Sexton. So I do think on this slate, with like this game absolutely could get ugly. Now that we have all these guys out for Golden State, we could see Conley just out another game. Maybe Utah rests a couple guys as well. I think if you were to want to look at something like extreme stars and Scrubsy, and you're still playing this value from Golden State anyways, I think Talen Horton-Tucker and even maybe Nickeil Alexander-Walker, but more so Talen Horton-Tucker for me, make pretty interesting large field GPP punts.
Yeah, I mean, nothing else I want to really add here. If Conley sits, I mean, I could definitely take some shots on Malik Beasley, large field tournaments. I mean, if he gets hot shooting the basketball, he's someone that has a little bit of upside. We finish it out with Boston at Phoenix. 231.5 total Boston, 1.5-point favorite. Gallo and Williams out for Boston. Craig questionable, CP3 questionable, and Johnson still out. Let's go to Boston first. What are your thoughts here on the Celtics?
Jaylen Brown's been playing very good basketball lately, and his price hasn't risen high enough to reflect it. I think he's very interesting, especially if we end up seeing a lot of Bridges trying to lock up Tatum in this one. So I think Tatum and Brown are both very interesting, but because of that price difference, I would choose Brown between the two of them. other than that, there's not a lot here that interests me for the Celtics. We got Horford back. He's nice and cheap, but he's not somebody that I really like playing in tournaments just because I feel like his ceiling is basically like low 30s fantasy points. If we get Brogdon out again, it does make Marcus Smart and Derek White more viable. Derek White on DraftKings, where he's still below 5K, I think is pretty interesting, where he's 5'7 on FanDuel. I wouldn't want to play him. But if Brogdon's in, it's really just Brown and Tatum is the only two I'm considering.
Yeah, I think Tatum and Brown are like the low-owned break the slate type of plays. I don't know if I would play both of them together, even though like they've shown that they could get there. It's just like Tatum hasn't had the ceiling when Brown's had these big games. I think I would limit to one, but I think like either one of these guys could potentially break the slate. And then on the Phoenix side, I think I like Ayton in this spot, like as a run back option, but I really want to see like what we get as far as like Chris Paul news, because it sounds like he's really, really close to being back. But I don't really think like Ayton is taking a hit if Chris Paul plays. So I have a lot of interest here in Ayton. If Craig sits, do we play some Sarge? He's just not playing a lot of minutes.
Josh Okogie's played 28 and 26 minutes in games. And he had 37.5 fantasy points two games ago. And even last game where he only took eight shots, he still had 26. And so at 3K, if Paul and Craig are out, Josh Okogie is very interesting, especially if he pops into the starting lineup, because he did start the second half last game after not starting in the first half.
Yeah, I like that call. I can't believe he's still minimum salary after having two really strong games. We'll take it, right? Like, we'll take it. Anything else here on this side of the game?
Let's play the morning grind game and get you to sleep over there on Eastern time.
That's right. Morning grind game, favorite play, under 5K to go 7X using DraftKings scoring. I always make sure I say that, especially when TJ's on the show. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you like?
Dante DiVincenzo.
I'm going to take Okogie. I did not have that written down. I had DiVincenzo written down since you took it. I will take your Okogie. Okogie does need like Craig to sit. So just saying. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust at the top today?
I'm going to go with... Jeez, there's not that many players I think are going to bust today in this spot. I'm going to go with... Jeez. I like all the spend-ups today. I'm going to go with De'Aaron Fox.
I'm going to go DeJounte Murray. I continue to like Trae Young over DeJounte, so easy one for me. Favorite 6X play today?
CJ McCollum.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. I knew you were going to say that when we were talking about him. And I'm going to go, gosh, it pains me to say this because I know it could easily not work out, but give me Kawhi Leonard. I think he's just way too
We'll give you FanDuel scoring, FanDuel pricing for this one.
I'll take this 7,200 though. Like 28 minutes, 15 shot attempts the other night. All right. Like I know like Kawhi's upside, so give me Kawhi. He'll punch me in the face. It's okay. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got? Who's getting weird with you today?
I think that could have been one where you could have saved Kawhi for that one there. But
I have mine and I know you're not gonna take it, so it's fine.
There you go. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. Should have thought this one through because I think I'm going to go Jaylen Brown. I don't think he's going to be highly owned in this spot.
I like it. I'm going Fultz from Orlando. I like him a lot. And with all the value that's going to open up on this slate, he's just going to be low owned.
Homer.
What's up?
Homer.
I mean, yeah, I definitely watch the Magic more than any other team. You're right.
Can you guess who I watch more than any other team? We got video going for this one.
Yeah, there you go. Sleeper doesn't have a ton of stuff out yet, so if you're in the Grinders chat squad, then you'll see I'll post something over there for Sleeper tomorrow. And that's going to wrap it up. TJ, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, that's about it. Apologies again for making us start a little late, but we got through this one nice and quick, and hopefully we can help the people make some money on Wednesday night.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. We'll be back Thursday talking football. NBA back on Friday. Hope everyone has a fantastic Wednesday. We'll see you again tomorrow.